My name is Peyton. I am 15 years old. Today is March 25th. Today I'm speaking with Nicole Moen, who is my mother. I am recording this interview in West Fargo, North Dakota. Can you tell me a bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
I grew up with two parents, my mom and my dad, and two sisters. I am the oldest by a couple of years. I grew up in West Fargo, North Dakota. I was a outgoing child. I made friends pretty easily. I liked to be outside and play sports. I was not a real girly girl, but not really a tomboy, kind of in the middle. I really like to stay active. I like to read.
Have any of those things changed since you were a teenager?
No, not really. I still like to be active. I still like to get my hands dirty, do projects and sports. Yeah.
Can you tell me about your grandparents, your great-grandparents?
My grandparents, grandparents on my father's side passed away when I was young. My grandma died first, and then my grandpa died approximately 9 or 10 months later. I remember they lived in Garrison, North Dakota. My grandfather had a big heart and a big laugh. He was, even though I was probably maybe 5 when he died. I still remember him a little bit. My grandma, they lived in a house that kind of reminded me of the Brady Bunch. And my grandma, I remember every time we went to visit her, she kept fudge stripe cookies in her cookie jar, and I thought she baked them. I didn't know she bought them at the store because my mom never bought them. The one time we came to visit, she didn't have any, so we had to go buy some. And I put them on my pinky and ate around. That's how we ate them. And my grandpa, Kirchen, loved Cheez-Its. So I had a little elephant that had a pocket on its tummy, and he would fill it with Cheez-Its, and I would eat the Cheez-Its out of it. Kind of goofy. My grandparents on my mom's side, we spent a lot of time there. Grandfather has passed away now, but I was well into my adult years when he passed away. And my grandma is still alive. She's 90, I believe she's 94, and she's in a nursing home. My grandma is really short. She's barely 5 feet tall. She was super fun to go to visit because she's so small. She had a clothes that she kept all her old nightgowns in. So when we were kids, we loved to put them on because they basically fit us because she was so little. And my grandpa was kind of a big guy. We thought he was big. He was like 6 feet tall, and he was crankier. He was a farmer. She was a nurse before she had kids, and then she didn't work afterwards. They lived in Doyen, North Dakota, in an old house in a very small town. My grandpa was a farmer, and my grandpa also flew airplanes. He was a pilot. And he took us up flying one time, and that was pretty cool. We used to love to spend time in Doyen. We'd walk up to the store and get one of those called Tootsie Pops. And it was like a flashback because the store was really old and it was really small. Pretty much all they had in town was a store, a bar, and a church. Actually, I think they had, no, just one church and an elevator. So it was always fun to go visit them. And my cousins had horses, so we'd go ride horses up on the farm.
Did you meet any of your great-grandparents?
Yes. I was very, very little, but I'm pretty sure that I met my mom's dad's dad and mom. Yes, I did, because one of them was in a nursing home in Fargo, and we went, I have to ask my mom, we went and we brought him, it was Roy, which would have been my grandpa's, my mom's dad's dad. We brought him a Rice Krispie bar shaped like a heart for Valentine's Day or his birthday, one of the two, I can't remember now. I was pretty little. It was, Michelle and I were there, but not my youngest sister. I don't think she was born yet even.
Since he was in Fargo, did you visit him more frequently, or was it just the one time that you can remember?
I want to say we went a couple times, but that's the visit that just that I remember the most. It was that nursing home that was on University. I don't know if you know where that is. But.
All right, next question. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments of your life?
Oh, easy. When my dad was sick. My dad had a liver transplant in 1989. That was by far the most difficult thing that I've ever gone through in my life, besides losing him later.
How did you cope with it?
I don't know. Coping with him being sick, I tried to stay busy. Because he had his transplant in Rochester, Minnesota, and I was 16 when he had his surgery, and I was in West Fargo. So, and my sisters were in Doyen with my grandparents. So I was staying partly on my own and partly with my Aunt Connie, who lived here. So I just stayed busy. It was in the summer and I was working and I spent time with my friends and yeah.
So if anybody were to go through anything similar to what you went through with your dad, what piece of advice would you give to them?
Talk to people. Stay busy. Talk to people. Don't
isolate yourself.
Don't isolate yourself, exactly. You don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Do you think that kids today cope with that kind of stuff differently than we used to because of social media and being able to still talk to people without being face to face?
I do, because I see that what I see happening with social media is relationships are more shallow. I think because we didn't have that when we were growing up. If you wanted to talk to someone, you had to do it face to face or by the phone. I mean, we didn't have email even until I was in college. So I think it's so much easier to lose that human connection when things are more cold through instant texting or any other social media. And I think that people just don't have that same deep connection that you used to have.
Do you think that's going to cause problems in future generations?
Absolutely. I think it already is. I do. I mean, plus everything, you know, we have access to everything right at our fingertips. And so many times, you know, instead of being outside in the fresh air, kids are sitting on their phones in the house.
Moving on, can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
My mom, absolutely. Growing up with a sick dad, my mom was a rock. She was a caregiver. She was a mom. She did everything. I mean, she did everything. She and I had struggles when I was a teenager. Same with a lot of moms and daughters. I was kind of a brat, and I thought she was hard on me. But yeah, definitely. And also my dad. And even though my dad was sick, he never, never once complained. He was always, you know, willing to talk and have a big hug. And he had a way of helping you see your problem, helping you see an answer to your problems without fixing it for you, just by questions he would ask and things like that. And he was just like a kind of a calming factor for me.
Do you see any similarities in your relationship with your parents that you and I have?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that you and I have a very close relationship. I think you and I have worked very hard on our relationship. I think we're very open and honest with one another. I think that, you know, if I'm disappointed in you, we can have a talk about it. I think if you have problems, you come and talk to me. And that's like, you come to talk to me about your problems, and that's what I would do with my parents, especially my dad. We would sit down, and a lot of times he would be laying in bed reading a book or whatever, or he spent a lot of time, kind of quiet time, in his room because he was sick a lot. So we would, and my sisters did this also, separate from me. But we used to like to sit in his room and talk, and that's where we had really good talks.
Do you think that your relationship with your parents has helped you for our relationship?
Absolutely. I think my parents were great role models for how to be parents and how to be good communicators. And I think that's one of the reasons that communication is the key to any relationship. If you lose that communication, it makes it a lot more difficult to do that.
Moving back to when you were a teenager, what advice would you give your teenage self?
Wow. That's a hard question. What advice would I give my teenage self? I would have picked a different major in college.
What would it be?
I have no idea, but not what it was.
How can you say that if you still don't know today?
I don't know. I would have played volleyball in high school. Because I'm mad at myself that I didn't.
Why?
Because I love playing volleyball and I didn't play. My teenage self. I would have tried to have been more respectful to my parents.
Okay, continuing with your advice for your teenage self.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I had a good teenage years. Other than I would have done something different with my college major. I don't think I would have done anything else differently. Really.
Nothing with your friends or
no
doing more, getting out more.
We were very active. We were outside all the time. I think I would have spent less time with people who weren't nice, but I did, you know, my high school years, I didn't really spend time with people who didn't treat people right. So it wasn't a lot of drama, really. I don't know.
Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
In my childhood?
Start with one in your childhood, one in your teenage years, and one in your adulthood.
My childhood. That's hard. I think the happiest times I had, I can't think of something, a specific event, but we used to go spend time at the lake my parents bought a lake cabin when I was 12, 13 maybe. So we spent every weekend there in the summer, and that's the best. We had, and before that we had a camper in a campground that I had tons of friends. So that was so fun to go down there and just run around. I mean, we were outside kids. We were outside all the time, hanging out with our friends, riding bike. We rode bike all over town. I mean, those were just the most fun times, I think, that I had when I was a kid.
Do you, since we still go to that lake cabin today, do we still do a lot of similar things that you guys did when you were younger, or have things changed at the lakes?
They've changed a little bit, but not a lot. I mean, we had a pontoon growing up, but we didn't, my mom fished a little bit. My dad didn't really like to go fishing. We had a paddle boat that we rode in the paddle boat a lot. We had a canoe that we would take, especially when I was like mid-teenage years. Me and my friends would take out and take all over the place. We'd walk to the store, get ice cream. So, yeah, we do a lot of the same things that we do now. Absolutely.
Is there anything that you used to do at the lake that you wish we still did?
Skiing. I wish we still had a ski boat because that was super fun. Tubing. I don't really want to do that anymore because it hurts. But, yeah, I wish skiing would be fun.
What about, like, your late teenage years, early adulthood?
Fun memories?
Yeah.
Going to Europe was fun. I did that when I was 16. We went to France and Germany for 3 weeks. That was super fun. I went with one of my best friends. So those are great memories to go. And we got to do a lot of stuff on our own. Like in Paris, we got to go on the subway by ourselves. We were only 16. And that was kind of cool because we got to go, you know, we were in another country and we were kind of unsupervised. We thought it was pretty cool. Early adult years. Oh, obviously having all three of my babies was amazing. Getting married, of course, moving to Denver. We moved to Denver. That was kind of scary and exciting all at the same time.
What about recently?
Recently, our trip to Norway was like game changer. It was so fun to go, and spend 10 days with my family without electronics because our phones really didn't work over there.
And our friends.
And we have amazing friends that live there and their kids and, yeah, like our family. And just to see, I mean, you know, we've been to Mexico and I was in Europe in high school, but just to see how they live on a day-to-day basis and where they go grocery shopping and how they spend their time and how they, you know, getting to see their friends and go hiking and see their winter cabin and see their summer cabin and go to that music festival. It was just, that was the trip of a lifetime. I'll never forget it ever.
Is there anything that happened in Norway that we just experienced in Norway or that you learned from Norway that you took with you and used to change something within your life because of how they live?
Well, they're the happiest country in the world. And they truly are. I mean, when you see how they live, they don't stress about things. They're just, you know, they kind of go with the flow. And they're not materialistic. And I think, you know, just to me, to remember to be content with yourself, and we don't have to have everything perfect. We don't have to have a bigger house than our neighbors. We don't have to have more and more and more and more. And that's how most Americans live, is more, more, more. They don't. And I think that was the difference, that not that they don't have nice things, they have amazingly beautiful things, but they just seem like they're more content with them, with their lives, than we are. Would you think so too?
Yeah, I agree. If you had the opportunity, money didn't matter, getting all the stuff over there didn't matter, and you could see your family whenever you want, would you move down there? Or up there, I guess.
Would I move to Norway?
Or anywhere in Europe?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never thought about it. I would move from West Fargo, yes.
Why?
Because I'm ready, and we will. When you graduate from high school, we'll move. But I'd like to live on a lake or a pond or something water.
A pool or a pond.
A pool or a pond. The pond's good for you. I want quiet. I want to not have neighbors and noise and I don't know. Europe? I don't know. I like the U.S., but I definitely would, if money wasn't an object, I would travel way more. Very often.
Where's the next place that you want to travel to?
Europe. We're going to go. I want to go to Italy and England and just all over Europe. That'll be the next big trip. Our next little trip will be Buffalo, New York for Hunter's Golf. But.
Tell me about some of the most important life lessons you have learned. Or just lessons that you've learned within your life.
I think the most important is to hold space for yourself.
How do you incorporate that into your life?
I try to not pick myself apart. I try to just focus on being a good person and focus on crossing things off my list and being happy and content. I try really hard not to judge myself. It's really hard not to judge yourself. And sometimes it's really hard to forgive yourself when you make a mistake. But that's really been something that I'm really focusing on. Because it's important to do that with other people also, to not judge your peers and other people that you come into contact with on a day-to-day basis, but it's equally as important not to judge yourself.
Do you wish you would have been able to focus on that when you were younger?
It wasn't really, when I was a kid or even a teenager, it wasn't an issue.
Do you think that this generation and how we act towards each other and how we act towards ourselves influences that, and it's part of why, or do you think that's more common nowadays?
People judging themselves?
Yes. And
I do.
Being rude to one another and
definitely. I think that through social media, people think that other people have these great lives, because a lot of times you get such a little
glimpse.
People paint the picture they want other people to see through social media. So sometimes it's easy to say, "Wow, my life sucks," but look at how good theirs is, and maybe you don't see the struggles that they're going through. You just see the good things. And I think everyone has bad stuff happen. You know, even if you have everything you think you need, people have bad days, and that's okay.
So if that continues with social media to get worse as life goes on, for someone who's listening to this, what advice would you give them?
Check out. Take a break. Cut yourself some slack. I think, just be a good human. Take care of your country. Take care of your environment. Take care of your friends. Take care of your family. But take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Say something nice to someone. Just go out of your way to do good.
How would you like to be remembered?
As someone who had a big heart and as someone who was unselfish, someone who loved big, a nice person. Helpful, hardworking.
Why is that important to you?
That's how I was raised. Those are the values that my parents instilled in me. To be appreciative and show gratitude and work hard, but have fun.
Is that how your parents were?
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Wow, that's a hard question. I think just do good. Be nice. Be helpful. If someone needs something, give it to them. Do it. Don't expect things in return. Just, you know, go out of your way to be nice to people.
What is your best advice for raising kids?
Oh, raising kids is hard. Well, you have to pick your battles, and when you pick them, you have to win them. You do. If the battle you're going to pick is that your child isn't going to talk back to you, and they do, you have to follow through on it. You can't do it halfway. So whether that be, and you have to be consistent. If you don't want them to throw food at the table, they always have to not throw food at the table. And then you have to follow up, and it has to be immediate, and it has to be in relation to what they're doing wrong.
So you have 3 children. Is there anything that you learned from raising the other 2 that you incorporated when you were raising me?
Absolutely.
Like what?
Yelling doesn't work.
Except for with me, because I get scared.
Well, yeah, but how often do I yell at you?
Not much.
Very rarely.
I definitely know you've learned that, and we've had discussions about yelling doesn't fix anything.
Just talking. I mean, we talk a lot. I would have much rather talk through our problems than just scream and yell and slam the door. That doesn't work. Getting mad is easy, but it doesn't solve problems. So I think sometimes, as a parent, you have to take yourself out of the situation until you can calmly talk about what's going on. And it's hard to remember kind of when you're little, because all my kids are big now. So, you know, gosh, if I had to go back and discipline first graders, I don't think I could do it. But you just have to stay calm, and you can't let them win. You can't let them emotionally win an argument. So you have to just be consistent always.
Is there anything that you would have done differently to improve your parenting? Or do you think that you learned from it enough?
Oh, I'm sure I made 100 million mistakes. I'm sure I did. But, you know, it's kind of part of, to me, people always say, okay, if you could go back to your teenage years, would you do it? No. I wouldn't go back and change any of the mistakes that I've made in my past, because that all leads to where I am now. So, yeah, are there probably ways I handled situations that I could have done better? Absolutely. I have a good relationship with all 3 of my kids, and you're still all okay and breathing and not, you know. So, no, I don't think so.
With the yelling thing and not getting mad easily, was that harder during certain ages?
Uh-huh.
Especially like teenage years, when that's something when, that teenagers
when
tend to
girls
do.
Get into their little snotty period, yeah, it's hard. Especially when you have children that sometimes have characteristics that are similar to your own personality, it's hard.
Elaborate on the characteristics being similar.
I have one child in particular. Well, all 3 of you have some of my stubborn pig-headedness. Not being patient. So that's hard when you have basically an argument with yourself. And yeah, oftentimes when you kids were challenging, I would call my mom and apologize because I know I remembered having the same exact issue and argument with her. So I would do that.
Was it harder to raise me since I was the generation, or not generation, but the first child to really have social media in my life? Was it harder with that aspect?
No, because I think, well, your brother didn't really care about social media. I mean, he just wasn't really on, other than if he was checking a score of a game or something. Or sending us funny Snapchats.
From college,
yes. I think that social media, when Haley was a teenager, was challenging because I think parents didn't understand it as well, and I think there was a lot of bullying that went on, and I know there is now, but I think I knew about it a lot more with her age group. So, no, I think, you know, you guys are all close enough in age that I don't think there's huge differences that in that aspect of it, no.
What is your opinion on social media and how it plays a role in our life?
I use social media in a lot of productive ways, I think. I'm in some fitness groups that are like accountability groups that keep me on track, and we post things, and that's good. It's keeping in touch with old friends is good because you can see how their families are growing and things like that. And same with relatives. You know, it's fun to keep in touch with relatives that we don't get to see very often. But sometimes I think it's also difficult, even at my age, because you do see just the best of everyone's lives, you know? And if I can see how people kind of get unrealistic expectations of what their lives should be like because of what people are posting on social media. I don't know. And it also just kind of makes you feel like you're peeking in their windows, you know, because you know that they went on vacation, or you know that they got a new car, or that they moved into a new house, or had a baby, or whatever. And it's almost like, I don't know, eavesdropping.
What do you mean by that?
Like, because even though you're not really a part of your life, their life, you feel like you are. So I think, I don't know, it's just, I think it's odd.
Do you think kind of odd that social media has more positives to it or more negatives?
Yes.
Elaborate on that.
I think it depends on the person. Because people who like drama are going to find drama wherever they look for it.
Do you think that it is easier with social media for that drama to occur and that drama to be built up and that drama to continue?
It's just a vehicle for it. I don't know if it's necessarily easier or not. Yeah, I suppose. But really, I mean, people, and you and I have talked a lot about this, girls who are mean in elementary school and high school, junior high, some of them are still mean when they're 45 years old. They're just, that's just, I don't know why. So people who want to find drama will find drama. I think social media is a vehicle of it, but I mean, we had party lines, but back in the day where people were mean like that too.
How would you...
Maybe.
If somebody were to ask you to describe yourself, how would you describe yourself?
If someone asked me to describe myself, I would say stubborn, impatient, friendly, hardworking, easily bored, distracted, loving, interested in people. A mom, a wife, a sister.
I noticed you started with a lot of negatives. Why is that?
Because I think part of the core of who I am is I'm stubborn, and stubborn is not necessarily negative. Stubborn can also be good. Part of being stubborn for me is if I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And don't you dare tell me I'm not going to do it, because I'm going to. So if that is going towards a positive goal, it's not a negative. It's a positive. If it's going to towards a not positive goal, then it's not a good thing.
If somebody were to ask you about me, how would you describe me?
Big-hearted, optimistic, a good friend, a very loving person. You are someone who wants to make people feel good about themselves. You are also very hardworking and driven and determined, stubborn a little bit. I think you're also very introspective.
What does that mean?
I think that you, when you have a feeling about something, whether it's good or bad, you try to figure out why. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So, like, if you are, I don't know how to explain it. Okay, introspective. So I think that, yeah, you, I think you're just kind of a deep thinker. Like, you really think about why things are the way they are and things like that. I also think that you are, very confident, but not egotistical. I mean, like, you're confident in your abilities and who you are as a person, but not over the top about it. I mean, you've been through some things in your life with people not being nice to you, and, you know, I think that is part of why you're confident and why you can let things go. But I think that you have to remind yourself of that sometimes too. And I also think that's a big part of why you're so big-hearted and try to make people feel good about themselves, because you know what it's like when people are mean.
Do you think that sometimes me trying to make people feel good about themselves can be a negative thing because I get too...
Well, I think sometimes you get over-involved with things that because you because you want to fix it. You're a fixer. I'm a fixer. Like, I don't like things I can't fix, because if there's a problem, we're going to figure out how to get it to that answer to it, and then we're going to move on. And I think you're the same. You're very much like me in that way. The problem is sometimes you can't fix it, and I think that's hard for you to accept. And I think we have that in common, because it's hard for, I'm the person in my family that everyone comes to with their problems, and you are the person in your friend group that all the people come to with your problems. And I think sometimes it's challenging when you don't have an answer, or you can't fix it, or sometimes it just is the way it is. That's hard.
Going back to the other one, the big long word that you said that I didn't know?
Introspective.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, I think you kind of set goals for yourself, and like I think you are constantly reevaluating things. I think you're kind of a deep thinker that way. So like when you have a goal set for yourself, that you're always reevaluating it to see if it's the right goal or if it's too far reaching or not far reaching enough or if it's what you really want. I think a lot of people kind of set their sights on something and then that's just what they're going to do no matter what. I think that you are constantly like reevaluating situations and adjusting that way.
Do you think that's a positive thing or a negative thing?
I think it's a positive thing because you're constantly taking cues from people and from, you know, and adjusting. And I think, you know, like with your grades and stuff like that, you are really dedicated to being a good student. And that's, you've set that bar very high for yourself.
Do you think that sometimes I can be too hard on myself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you have very high expectations for yourself, both academically and personally and with your dance. I absolutely think you have very high expectations of yourself. But it also, I think if you don't reach a goal in the desired time, that's where I think you're introspective and you make adjustments. So to say like you have a certain skill you're trying to achieve in dance, that you kind of reevaluate and you know, give yourself more time or maybe decide you want to focus on something else first, or sometimes you reach your goal faster than you think and then you get to move on to the next one.
What is your favorite memory of me?
Favorite memory of Peyton? Ooh. You were a funny kid. You were my kid who was my snuggle kid. I never had one of those. I didn't know they existed. So you were always smiling and happy. You were an easy baby. You loved to just sit on my lap and read books and just hang out. You loved being around us all the time. You were just this happy kid that always had a smile on her face, and you were just easygoing. And favorite memory, I can't even picture one. You're a funny kid. You said funny things. I don't know. I loved, dance has been a big part of who you were. I mean, you've danced since you were 2. So I think probably one of my favorite memories was the first time I saw you up on a big stage dancing in an auditorium filled with tons of people. And you were 2. And you did, I mean, it was like you were dancing in our living room. It didn't matter that you were up on a big stage in front of a lot of people. It was just, that's deep down who you are. I mean, you know, you're good at speaking and you're good at being around people and you're confident and you work hard to do what you love.
All right, well, time is wrapping up and I wanted to tell you that I'm very thankful that you did this with me.
Thanks.
And it was nice to have a real conversation with you. And I appreciate you being in my life, and I appreciate you being my mother. And I love you very much.
I love you very much, too. This was fun.
It stopped.
Where?
Done.
Done?
Yep.